It's funny because I'm recording this intro right now, right as I just got off of using ChatGPT for like five different things. Well, I mean, not five different things, but like three different things. And this episode is really just all about if you have started kind of like messing around with ChatGPT, or if you just haven't yet and you've heard of it. And definitely if you haven't heard of it, you need to get on that, man, because it's a super powerful thing. This concept of AI seems big and scary and complex, but it doesn't really need to be. All you need to understand is that it shortens the time between imagination and creation. Meaning, you have an idea, put it into the AI, see what it says, and boom, you have a first draft in like 30 seconds, whether it's writing or visual or whatever it is. And I just highly encourage you to start using that. And that's why I brought John Briggs on, right? John Briggs has been a part of this show before. He's kind of like the ultimate content hustler, if you ask me, man. He's just like a super resourceful entrepreneur, content creator. He's got an awesome community called The Sauce. We talk about all of it. But basically, it's just to, this conversation is just to open your mind up a little bit about ChatGPT, how we're using it, how he's using it, how you might be able to use it in the future. And I couldn't, you know, be more emphatic on the idea that I think this is all, it's kind of like headed towards like social media, right? Like if you figured out that social media wasn't just like a friend making and a flexing online process back in the day, then your career has completely changed. I wish I would have figured that out a little bit sooner of that. But ChatGPT, AI, all this stuff is right now in these nascent stages where just a small couple of tweaks, a little bit of understanding of it, and it can really supercharge your career and your personal life and your business and all these different things. So I hope you really enjoy this thing. And I hope that you join us for one of these like live internet talk shows, right? This is all done live on Mondays at 4:30. Come join us one of these days. Be part of the conversation. And hope to see you there. But for right now, just looking to crack open the door on your understanding of AI with this conversation with my boy, John Briggs. Enjoy.
If you know how it is, then you know how it might be. But think what it would look like if you grow your own community. It ain't easy. That's why you're listening to hear experiences from others just like you and me. Welcome to the B2B Community Builder Podcast, a show that was started because if you can unlock the power of having a community around your business, then you will create a source of referrals, validation, marketing content, and product feedback that will be unbeatable. But who has time to think about building a community when you need to be making sure that your team has what it needs to succeed in serving clients and bringing in revenue? That is why we'll be talking to business leaders like you and I that have cracked the code on why the community play is so valuable, how to implement tactics that got them there while still serving short-term goals, and what they can teach you that they have mastered. This show is for you if you are a CEO, CMO, or simply a rainmaker that has realized that without a community, you are just a commodity, but haven't figured out how to add it to your infinite list of priorities. This show is for you if you are a community professional or trying to be a community professional that is trying to convince leadership about the need to invest in a community strategy. This show is not for you if you think transactions are more valuable than relationships. I am your host and chief executive connector, Pablo Gonzalez, co-founder of BeTheStage.live, a marketing company that specializes in relationship-driven growth. I invented the relationship flywheel, and hopefully I'm your new best friend. So smash that subscribe button, leave a rating when you do, and get ready to plug into the power of community creation for business development. Let's go. Welcome to the B2B Community Builder Show, episode 217. I'm your host and chief executive connector, Pablo Gonzalez. And we got a good buddy of mine back for the second time on the B2B Community Builder Show. He also appeared on the chief executive connector before the rebrand. because John and I share like one brain. He just happens to be more physically gifted than me, which is the main difference here. But John Briggs is the founder of Food Fight Studios, world-class visual branding studio, has launched a really compelling community called The Sauce, where he is able to basically mine the brains of some of the most talented up-and-coming creators and offer us value here based on that stuff. Really cool community that they got going on the Discord. John's been pushing the envelope of community for some time. If you remember last time, he launched a NFT project with an animator that led to like a co-written book. John, you want to show that thing off right now? Is it reachable?
Yeah, it's reachable.
It's one of the coolest projects I've ever seen. And it's called the Battle Bunnies Project, NFTs. I'm an owner there. They published this book. Really cool thing. He's the reason why I connected with Mark Schaefer and I came out in Brands That Belong. I basically owe John a bunch of flowers that I would love to give him one of these days. But for now, he just gets to be a guest on the show thrice. John Briggs, welcome to the show, man.
Love it, man. Definitely nothing physically gifted more. You go like surfing every morning, man. Like I haven't been out of this room in like 6 months. So there's zero physical advantage over here on this side, but I appreciate it.
Fine.
That.
I'm just going to say physically attractive. I don't know how to say, you know, like, yep. I just feel like.
Not that either, but yeah, no, man, I appreciate it. Yeah. The Battle Bunnies, super excited. It's been a fun project, literally started March 26th of last year. So in less than a year, but through the power of real community, we've done a lot of really badass things, including like publishing a real Harry Potter like novel in less than a year. So thanks for being part of that. And we're in that same book together. So Bunnies is featured there. And so is JWB. And I love the JWB case study in there as well. So man, we're sharing a lot of things, man.
We're crisscrossing a lot of streams over here. I want to welcome the community. Jen Filson in the house from Monterey, California. She's the fairy godmother of the Not Your Average Vegetable community. We got Lori Goldman, aforementioned, the super connector of our community. We got Jesse Rittenhouse, green building expert, category king of green building consultancy down in South Florida with the Spinnaker Group. Who else we got in here? We got Cheryl Hayes, leadership consultant, advisor to startups. Cheryl is awesome too. Scott Wilder, Silicon Valley legend over there, championing customer-led growth with the CLG Academy. Who else we got in the house? All right, we got everybody checking in, making friends. Sandy Griggs in the house. Sandy, it's good to have you. I haven't seen you in a while, Sandy. We gotta catch up. All right.
The Riggs is staying together. So whether you're Briggs or Griggs, it makes sense. So love it, Sandy.
What about Riggs? Isn't Riggs the Lethal Weapon guy as well?
Yep.
Or was that?
Yeah, that's Riggs. Exactly it. That's what I say. So, yeah.
All right. Cool. Riggs. John, I bring you on here because you are, to me, the ultimate. You're like my guy that I go to that when something is really starting to happen, you not only know about it, but you've already iterated to it two or three times because you're an early adopter. You're surrounded by like cutting edge people. And I think this like sauce community is kind of your masterpiece of being able to have these like listening streams into the ecosystem that you are such a big part of. So when we were first talking about, I don't remember what we were talking about. You're like, dude, you got to get on this ChatGPT stuff. You got to get on the AI stuff. The things that we're doing in the Discord channel are insane. And I'm just like, you know what, John, I'm kind of like a tech idiot, but you're really good at this stuff and you can come explain it. So I just want to give us high level. If I'm just like AI, really, bro, but I'm a human, it's always going to work. Or is it going to replace me? Give me high level why the average marketing team, why the average solopreneur content creator, and why every, you know, big company marketing team needs to start understanding this stuff from your perspective.
No, I'm with you, man. So the sauce was always like an internal collective team. So like literally inside of Food Fight Studios, which was creating content for people, but we were creating content for celebrities, actors, musicians, marketers, and they all had different channels. So there's not enough time in the day to like understand how to produce content on LinkedIn and YouTube and all that stuff. So the sauce was kind of like this internal group that we would meet up, and we had this document, the Digital Media Playbook, where we would just share the latest news, tips, tricks, tech stuff, new stuff that was coming out to kind of make our lives easier. And Food Fight as a content creation team has always been about how do we create content easier, but still like push the quality, like our quality going up, but our, you know, output and effort go down. So we've always been doing this internally. The sauce was literally, we just opened it up recently to have more of that, right? More of that, that would come in, because I am a dummy. Like, you and I actually have the same brain. You said it yourself and then called yourself a dummy. So I get it, but I'm agreeing with you. So I've just always just tried to not be the smartest person in the room. So there's been some really cool things happening inside the sauce Discord community and Twitter community, where we're just kind of sharing news and technology, and NFTs were one, but AI, like all this Web3, like this shit is getting real quick. And where I would say, from a content creator, and I'd love to get in, like, the statement that I would make is ChatGPT right now can make anybody's life easier that has a computer. Like, anybody, doesn't need to be a business owner. And I would love to go through some things there, but from a content creator, I guess the easiest way I could say is it's like going from a typewriter to a computer. If you're just like a writer, I think that's a good little difference. But now this computer has a calculator. And now, by the way, this ChatGPT is the first version of the computer. And wait till we have an iPhone that comes really quickly on some level. So it's changed the game, man. It's going to change small teams, big teams, individual people, help them do things better and faster, and stop roadblocks that I think we've all faced as content creators.
How so, man? Tell me more. Like, I feel like those are the headlines, right? Like, yep. People are talking about, you know, Schaefer, for example, came out with a podcast immediately when ChatGPT got released, saying that this is going to change the face of marketing forever. Explain it to me like the average person. I'm not a marketer, but I am a business person.
I got you.
I do lead a team. Kind of why is this thing going from a regular, like, one panel calculator to a computer?
So I'll just tell you, like, roadblock that I've had in personally, right? Maybe people can relate, maybe not, but this is what I've had. So maybe you have too. Have you ever sat in front of a computer screen trying to figure out how to respond to an email or put a subject line on an email? And it's just taken up way too much time of your day at all?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So on a very easy scale, it takes a lot of the stuff that is that we as content creators or just business owners waste that really are irrelevant to the bottom line of our business, if something could help speed up that process. So in ChatGPT and other tools also, you could literally put in there your tone of voice. You could say, hey, here's some emails you could copy and paste some emails that you've responded before, put it in ChatGPT, and then say, hey, here's another email. Give me some examples of how to respond to this, and copy and paste, and it gets you started, and it gets you started way quicker. So is it always perfect? Definitely not. But it's a spot that we could test it now, but it's a spot that will get you to, me personally, gets it to a spot where maybe it's taken me an hour, or maybe I've waited a day, and maybe I never get back to that email because other stuff piled up. It's something I can instantly do that gets me to keep moving down and respond to that email, get to the next thing. That's one very, very, very simple way that I think it's saved my life from an hour standpoint. Want more, or you want to go on that one?
Yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
I mean, blog posts, right? So another issue I've had is like trying to find good writers and then trying to tell the writers what you want to write about, and then getting what they write about and trying to match that up with, no, I didn't really mean that, or like, because they don't understand the business, or like, it's this brand new relationship. Like, that stuff can be handled in an hour on ChatGPT if you sit down there mindfully and just are trying to figure out, give me examples of, I'm a content creator writing about this. What are some topical things I can write about? Cool. What would be a headline for that? Cool. What would be an outline for that? Cool. Okay, let's take this outline and give me the first paragraph. Like, you could do any of these steps that save time as two. What do you got? Because I can keep going.
I want to keep going, right? So, okay. Like, for me, it's two very basic examples, right? Like, I think that I can tell you that for me, the thing, like, I was literally just using it, right? I'm developing a class for JWB, right?
Love it.
And in that class, it's going to be kind of like a lead magnet of like rental property investing 101 in order to educate the market on their philosophy of how you need to like look at rental properties. And if you look at it that way, then de facto, you're going to want to invest with these guys, right? Because they've educated you on like what the profit centers are or whatever. So one of the things that I was doing just now was taking like the transcript of the class and putting it into ChatGPT and saying, write me a description of this class. Like if it was a, you know, take this,
take this transcript and make it a class description for a syllabus for a college semester. And then after I wrote that, I then put in another prompt saying, now give me bullet point summaries as if I was a student taking notes in this class. And I'm creating, you know, these assets way quicker. That's, you know, like that's taking transcription video, putting it in and popping that out. But like you said, I've also done the same exact thing that you're talking about, right? Like I'm at a point where I don't know how to respond to something or I'm overthinking it. I can easily prompt it with a scenario of, hey, write me an email about this thing. And I've even started saying stuff like, and use an ABT storytelling framework.
Yes. Yep.
And it spits that thing out and it's amazing.
100%, dude. So you're already doing it and you get it. And I think the best thing to do is just play around with it. So if nobody gets anything out of this, just get on there and play around with it and learn a little bit. Because I think even if you're not a business owner, a buddy of mine, Ryan Fanzo, had this, it was interesting. If you open up your fridge, you can type in ChatGPT and say, hey, this is the ingredients in my fridge. What are some recipes I can make? Right. So there's just some, and they work. So I tested it out as I'm trying to tell my wife, like, hey, anybody can use this stuff. And I opened the fridge. I'm like, man, there's like lettuce, like protein shakes, hot dogs, bacon, cheese, like not a lot. And it's like, here's a pigs in a blanket recipe that like they tell you to do it. And before you know it, she came down and I, of all people, had dinner started just to prove to her that there's some easy ways that anybody can use this. You could take it a step further with that JWB stuff too. And then from a student standpoint, you could say, give me an exam to prove that. And then you put that up there and there you go. And then, now you have an interactive experience for people afterwards to take it. And then you give them a badge or a certificate or along those lines. Like all of that stuff is easy things that you can do.
I'm glad you said that right now. Cause as I was doing that earlier, and then I shifted mindset to like prepare for this. But as I was in the middle of doing that, I went and walked the dog and I was like, you know what I should do is come back and say, write me an exam for each module and then have that and create a much better course experience. So now I'm not going to forget that. Listen, we've got over 10 people now on the call with us. Love it. The community is in full effect. We got Jakub Oskardis, who's my co-bro. He's a content AI expert. We've got other folks, Michael Haynes, who's a published author about Listen, Innovate, Grow for small businesses. I would love to see if you're here, JD Gershbein, LinkedIn expert. If you are here, can you just put in the chat what AI tools you're using and kind of like what stuff you're using it for? Just a quick blurb. If you want, pop it into ChatGPT and ask it to tell you what to do, but put it in there. Cause I want to jam with John on a bunch of stuff. I know that right now we might be just talking about basic things that I'm hoping helps people that have not tried anything, but we're going to take it up a couple notches. Cause I know that John's community is really pushing the envelope on not just ChatGPT, but other AI tools. John, you want to give me kind of like a breath of that? Like right now we're talking about written AI tools and simple use cases. What other stuff are your people doing?
Yeah, I mean, here's some written tools, image-based AI, and there's a guy in our community named Amar, and he actually made national news a couple times. So this guy wrote this book, Alice and Sparkle, and put it on Amazon on a weekend. So he wrote a children's book. All of the images are done in Midjourney, which is a text to image generation AI tool that you can use inside of Discord. And he had ChatGPT write it. And the images came from there. And he didn't do it to say like, hey, I'm an author. He actually did some content around and said like, I did this on a weekend. Here's how you did it. So that it made national news from that. So the same dude also, just to show different AI tools that are here or are coming, he did an interview with Ronald Reagan. And you can see it on his, I don't have his socials with me now. And he's going to, you know, be mad that I don't. He put in a bunch of Ronald Reagan speeches. They got his voice. And then he typed in ChatGPT as an interview. And then he just recorded himself talking. And then they played back the Ronald Reagan thing. And you would think 100% it's Ronald Reagan. And he didn't do this to fool anybody. He's just doing this to show the tools of how you can do this. Because if you think about it, I've worked with comedians and their families are no longer with us. And there are cool things that you can essentially do with the family where you could create new jokes or take old jokes and bring them back out there for different audiences. I'm not saying you do that. I'm saying there's so many different applications. That's just a couple.
Can you talk me through the mechanics of that Ronald Reagan scenario, right? Like, because I've heard stuff like this all the time. In my limited brain power for tech tools, what I've reclused myself to doing is just taking less than 7-10 minute transcripts of stuff, putting it up there saying, hey, do something based on this. But I've never upload, you know, I've hear about these things of like uploading your actual content into it so that it learns it and then putting it like a Ronald Reagan thing. How does that start to work? Do you know the mechanics of that?
Yep. And I'm going to put in here, I don't have his Twitter handle there, but if you just Google Amar Rishi's Twitter, like he literally just scroll down a few, he'll walk you through the exact, so it's a thread and he walks you through the exact tools and what he did and screenshots and all that, which I love that he's doing it. Because there are people that are doing out there to say like, I'm an author or like fake things. Like there's a lot of, I just saw one yesterday on Facebook, a fake ad where they have a fake Joe Rogan talking about a supplement product. And it literally, I saw the actual ad and you would look at him and you think he's talking and he's saying things, but clearly it's a fake ad. So there's a fake endorsement. So there's a lot of bad things that are happening too. So at least understanding that this stuff is here and it can be used for good or evil and everything in between, I think as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for sure, I think we need to, that's going to open up a whole nother discussion of like deep fakes and whatever. Right. But like, Let's say I'm not trying to impersonate Joe Rogan, right? But like,
let me hear it. Can you?
No, I can't. I'm not enough of a primate. But you know, like I know that ChatGPT, for example, has learned the entire internet up until 2021, right? But for me, I'm Pablo Gonzalez, right? So it's really hard for me to like be like, hey, write something in Pablo Gonzalez's voice. How would I go? But I do have tons of transcripts of my old podcasts, things like that. How would I start getting it to learn something in my voice? Do you know?
Super easy. And by the way, I don't know, like by the time this comes out, which is like, it's live, but I think it still holds up. Like the shit's going to change. That's how quickly it's changed. I've been using AI tools to help with copy, mostly like YouTube headlines and things like that, called a thing called Jasper. It used to be called Jarvis. I've been using that for over 2 years. And it's not something that I would jump on this show to like get on a soapbox and say, check out Jasper. And 3 months ago, when I started the ChatGPT stuff, it's like, oh shit. Like it's changed so quickly, so fast. And there's a new version and it's open API for these things. So they're moving at a rapid pace. So I don't know if the 2021 thing is accurate anymore, or it could be, and it could not be, but I know they're releasing different versions of the stuff. But what I've specifically done is I've taken old emails or I've taken old transcripts of myself and put it in there, and I will say, okay, what is my tone of voice? And then use that. Okay, in this tone of voice, respond to this email or write a blog post about this. That's very easy to do. You can also use tools like Descript, which I know you use. I don't know if you've used any part of this stuff, but to get the voice recognition, Descript has a way that you can upload some of your voices and then you can literally delete part of the transcript and say, I meant to say bro, you know, not bo. And your voice would say bro. So there are ways that you can do that right now using simple tools like Descript.
Got it. So it's basically, so if I were to, I would start getting these like, so I know that Descript has that like voice generator thing.
Yep.
And then I've heard that you can also take kind of like long form recordings and put it into ChatGPT and say, hey, learn this, catalog this as Pablo's voice, stuff like that. Yeah.
No, there'll be other AI tools that you can bring in that will like summarize stuff. Like there's so many out there right now is that you can upload YouTube videos and it'll give you a summary of like, if it's an hour long video, it'll give you a summary of the video.
Yeah.
Right. So, which is helpful if you don't have time to, this shit saves time. This shit saves time from like horse and buggy to like cars for content creators. It stops roadblocks that happen for me anyway. And it definitely levels up ideation all the way through content creation if you so want it to. But there's a lot to be said to just saying like, I need ideas for this.
Yeah,
and for sure. It starts to pop out. So like when it's Monday at 5 p.m. and your brain fried, you can use it if you still have a few things to get done, is what I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. That's exactly. I'm using it in the afternoons when I need to like write captions, do stuff like that. What are some of the more innovative things that you've seen the community start doing? You mentioned this idea of like publishing a children's book. What else are you seeing out there that's like, that's interesting?
Dude, so every Friday there's, and I hate Twitter, dude, but there's a Twitter space that the Sauce community puts on with, along with others. And they're like real deal creators of dudes like Matt Wolf, who has this thing called Future Tools, and real deal creators. And they just kind of, it's almost like a scene, man. It's like those writers in the, it's the vibe you get, like the writers back with like Hemingway and Paris and stuff. Like it's every Friday at I think 3 Eastern, they all kind of get together. They just start talking about like the latest shit that happened and the stuff that they're doing now, because they also all get like instant early access. There's Heather Cooper in our community that's always getting his early access stuff. So she's always kind of telling us some of the things that are around the corner and happening. So, I mean, it does get more innovative, but right out of the gate to be able to write a children's book on a weekend. I mean, think of all the content creators that have books in their head that just never got it done and been slowed down for whatever reason, right? Pointing at somebody. I'm trying to point at you, but it's actually pointing at me. So it tells me like but think of all the books that like we all, like there's so many content creators that say like, I'm going to have time to write a book when I can and stuff. And that just helps the process start. This isn't innovative, but to be able to show my kids who are 9, the two of them are 9 and 7. And one of them loves Goosebumps. And we wrote a collection of Goosebump stories on a weekend that we're going to publish and do a book signing at the kid's school. And it's going to be awesome. Right. So that's like, to me, that's super freaking innovative. To him, it's super innovative. It's something that we couldn't have done even 5 months ago, 6 months ago.
Dude, I love it. I love it. All right, cool. Then, all right. Jesse's got a question in here. If I wanted to write a press release with AI, would I just enter some of the key points that I want included and say who the audience is? Could ChatGPT or some other service write it for me?
Yeah.
I mean, how would you prompt that?
We could literally test it out right now if we want to go even screen share and show some of the things. You want to do that? No? You're like, no, I don't like that.
I don't know.
You could, yes, 100%. I would say go there and test it out. There are a couple things that really help, right? So ChatGPT, one thing to understand is like that every new chat like is different. Like it doesn't give you information from there. So you don't want to, if you want to talk about like your grocery list versus, you know, writing a children's book, you wouldn't want to be doing that in the same thing unless it's about like eating healthy. I don't know. But each chat, you're really training that AI to get what you're trying to get to. So it makes mistakes and you could say, you know what, that doesn't make sense, or like that tone of voice isn't what I was looking for. How about this? And it'll say, okay, sorry, let me write this. So like, everything contained in one chat, you can actually train this. So I would totally start with, which is write a press release with AI that depends. I would literally say like, hey, this is, I'm a company. You said he's a building or construction.
They're a green building consultancy company.
There you go. So I would say, hey, I'm a green building consultant company. This is what we're trying to do. And I want to write a press release with these key points. And I would see what it says. And if it comes off great, then that's awesome. If not, then I would start to play around with it. And you could take other press releases and say like, hey, match this tone of voice and post it in there, and it would redo the whole thing for you. You could easily play around with that thing and your press release would be done in 10 minutes tops.
Cool. Jesse, write in the chat what the press release is about. We'll pop it into ChatGPT and do it. So we're not losing a lot of lag time going back and forth on the screen share.
My idea of the screen share, but I just want to do it, man. I'm so excited.
I like it. I didn't want to screen share and then talk through it. I want it to be there and then we'll pop it in and then we'll talk through it. So we can do that. You said, John, that you have a friend that's been meaning to write a book for a long time. I echo with that sentiment because I have a friend that told me that he was going to write a book for a really long time. If you were to write your book, is what your what was the name of your book? It was like Shortcuts for like Losers or something like that.
So yeah, that was awesome. There you go. Thanks for remembering it. Yes. Yeah. No, Shortcuts for and Loopholes for Losers, Shortcuts for Losers, whatever it was. Yeah. No, that, okay. I mean, literally that was a process that took me years to even get even close to being on paper. And by the time it was on paper, it's like, that information has changed. Right. And I hired writing help. So like I hired somebody and it took me a month or two just to get on the same page with that person to then give me something that was like started to be the working order. But then I had to go back and forth, like, and to wait on his schedule to like give me some revisions. And like, it was a long process, which was awesome. And you have to go through that, I think, some of the writing process, but like this stuff would have sped that up in a major, major way. The book that we published with Battle Bunnies, none of that was done with ChatGPT. It was pre-ChatGPT, but like since then, members of the community have written backstories using the tone of voice of the book, like copying and pasting that and then putting their own things and scenarios that they want. And it's like this fan fiction, which is just, it's been amazing, man. It's leveled up the storytelling in a major way.
Awesome, dude. Awesome. So they're like, so it's almost like a glorious fan fiction tool for that whole universe, right?
It's many things, right? The biggest thing is the whole thing is a tool. It's not anything else. It's a tool, just like the typewriter is a tool and a computer is a tool. It's, for me, it's just the coolest tool. And I'm always trying to play with cool tools. It's the coolest tool. You're the coolest tool I know, but this is the coolest tool I've ever played with in the content creation game. It's nuts, man.
Interesting, man. So, all right. So if you were to write, I want to run a couple scenarios with you, and I see that Jakob has his hand raised. I'm gonna bring Jakob up to panelists since he knows a ton about this stuff, and I'm not sure what he wants to talk about, but I think you and I keep jamming, and Jakob will join in a second. John, so give me the scenario, right? So you are writing your book on shortcuts for losers because you have, talk me through this idea of like you have in your head a couple stories that have to do with, you know, how you've gotten places or whatever, right? Like, what's the concept of your book and how would you start kind of like shortcutting towards using ChatGPT and publishing this thing?
The concept of the book, Shortcuts for Losers, is just literally how to skip the line or catch back up. So if you're a late bloomer or you just are impatient, and just talk about specific stories that I did that were helpful to me, and people were always asking me like, how did you do this? Or how did you get that? Or how did you get that Emmy award with, or how did you do a concert on a weekend and like the visuals for it and all that shit, which you're in. That's just the book that I started writing on because I've always been obsessed with trying to like not wait my turn and things like that. So that's what the.
Cool. So let me pause here to explain it to the audience. John has been nominated for a Grammy for.
Not a Grammy. No, Grammys.
An Emmy?
I don't have a voice. Yep.
An Emmy. He produced a concert for Wyclef that was all animation during the pandemic in the Apollo Theater. He's done a bunch of these like interesting things, and he has gotten there through non-conventional ways because he's a super connector and he is extremely emotionally intelligent and a hustler. So now what he's got in his brain is a whole bunch of proprietary stories and things that he has done and ways that he does things that he wants to put out into the world. Am I warm there? Cause I just wanted to frame it around the idea that this is like all stuff in your head that you're going to storytell around. It's not like you're not getting this as case studies from other books, right?
Correct. Yeah. No, I mean, look, I think if you look at books from the 1800s, like they all have a very similar pattern, like personal development books in that world, right? It's just a different story. Yeah. And everybody's, that's what makes it unique, is everybody's story and how they say it. So, but the framework's the same. And that's where I think AI really helps, is they're putting in frameworks like your ABT stuff. You could literally say, here's what I'm trying to do. Can you put it in the ABT framework? And it'll get you really damn close because a lot of this stuff is framework. So what's up, Jakob? Is that nice they say it?
Yeah. I'm great. How are you doing?
Yeah. Jakob, so welcome to the conversation, my friend. Jakob is the category king of content AI. But John, I don't want to let you off. I don't want to let you off so quickly, man. So we have this idea of a book for shortcuts for losers. Mm-hmm. You have these stories ready to tell. What's your first step into like kickstarting the process of writing this book right now? If you were to decide that you really want to knock this thing out.
Okay, so first off, I have the book done in my Google Drive for a long time, and it's just been sitting there because like I can't figure out like that's not right, or there's been some information that has changed. Also, wrote it partially before the pandemic, but there's been information that's changed, and there was a cost for me to go back to the editor and say this is not really what I want, but I couldn't get it out of my head what I wanted to say with that stuff. So what I've done is literally take that document that's like collected, you know, digital dust, and I've copied and pasted it and started to put it in there and get what I'm trying to get out of my head. And you can literally talk to this thing. So like Google search, you're typing a search like pizza 33414 or whatever in Wellington, but you can talk to this. You can talk to it like it's a virtual assistant. And it's not like remember that when you first heard Siri, you're like, it's awesome, I'm talking to a robot, but like, you're not really talking to a robot. This you're not either, but you can have conversations with it. So whereas Google is like search-based, you can actually have a conversation and I can say, I'm having a problem with like getting this out of my head, like help me. And it will pop out some questions that I find helpful that get me going on the right track.
Got it. So you're putting in your transcript and you're like, hey, in chapter three, I had changed this story from this to that. Can you rewrite that part in a way that reflects that at the end of the day, I got, you know, I made an extra 20 G's or something like that?
Exactly. Yep. Or you can say, I sound too bro-y in this comp, like this one. Can you change that whole thing? And it's good, man. It's been really cool. It's not perfect, but I also don't want to downsell it because typically but my experience with other AI tools, the past, I was like fighting for them and being like, hey, you got to try it. But like, this is not that. Like, this is really legit and it's not perfect, but it is pretty freaking close. And the amount of craziness it's leveled up in just this short amount of time, like it's coming really quickly even further.
Cool. Jakob, you joined the conversation when we were kind of starting to talk about like the deep fakes and whatnot. But like right now in this conversation, you were the first guy that I saw branding yourself as a content AI guy like 2 years ago, immediately realized that it's a genius niche to like give yourself. And since then, Smart. Your career has really taken off. What have you seen, you know, like to what John is saying, right? Like this like rapid adoption curve and like how much it's improved from like when you first started talking about this stuff like 2 years ago to now, how have you seen it improving in like utility?
I mean, it expanded so fast. It's incredible. So by the way, I appreciate John's experience and really, very thank you for your time, Pablo, to including me in your podcast again. I mean, I started with text and then it shifted from text to video and deep fake and audio, and deep fake is becoming so good currently. And so I have, for example, I'm using Colossian, which is a deep fake software, and I see a big potential because I'm in negotiation with them. They are going to record me and I'm going to create my own digital avatar so that I can do these tutorial explainer videos with this software so that I don't have to be standing in front of the camera. So it's becoming really, really good. So it was a good move 2 years ago. Currently, it's a little bit annoying sometimes because it's everywhere is AI now, and there's also this GPT-4 discussion. Yeah, I think there will be a peak, I think, this year when it comes to GPT-4. So yeah, I'm super excited, and I think it was a good timing to move in this niche, and I'm niching this down, and I just love this niche. It's amazing because like John said, it's saving you time. It's saving you a lot of time. That's the main thing and the main reason why I am using them.
Is this even that Jakob is what I want to know. I need like, maybe he's just sleeping right now.
Maybe.
And it's AI that's doing it for us, which is not far off from the future.
You will never know.
Yes. John, have you guys started using anybody in your community using like Colossian and stuff like that? Like
yeah, Jakob, man, like I am. Literally the dummy. I would love Jakob to jump in or at least hear some of the Twitter spaces because you'd fit right in because they're doing all these things. I think a lot of them, you know, there's companies out there like Synthesia or Synthesia or whatever. Yeah. And that is clearly still like robotic. Like you type in a message and it's cool because you can type in, if someone comes to your website, you can type in what you want them to say and you can start to have like a personal quote unquote conversation, which most websites don't have. It's still robotic, right? But there are other tools like these deep fakes that you'll see out there. And literally, I don't know if you heard Jakob, but I was telling Pablo that like yesterday I was scrolling through Facebook and saw a fake ad of Joe Rogan pitching supplements that he was not pitching supplements at all whatsoever. It's a company that was just doing it. And that's real dangerous because people are going to say, shit, he loves it. I love Alpha Brain. Let me buy this stuff. And I think you're already starting to see marketers do that like now.
I think that's a very important point. The AI ethic area will increase. So we also have some kinds of regulations within the AI Act within the European Union. So I think this is a big topic because there will be people who will misforce the deepfake and are already misusing, like you mentioned. There's also this Bruce Willis example use case where some agency used this face. So these whole face swap technology. So these are things I think that will pop more and more because it's becoming so easy that everybody can use it, but it's also a danger. So with great power, there comes also responsibility. And I think there will be also some kind of regulation.
Yeah, I don't want to get too deep into like AI ethics. I want to get more into like practical stuff. So let's now, since I got both of you guys on here, right? Like John, I kind of prepped you for this thing. I'm now sitting with, first of all, John's group, Food Fights Group, thesauce.foodfightstudios.com. Jakob, you should just go opt in and be a member of that thing. I think you'd be a great, great value in that community, and you guys should totally connect. But so I'm sitting around with Greg Cohen from JWB Real Estate Capital, right? We have this category of rental property investing, right? Like they're the only one of very few companies in the country that have been able to completely like turn buying a cash flowing rental property investment into a long-term positive return and a good experience, right? Because they've like totally vertically integrated. They've built at a scale that, you know, very, very few rental property investors get to, and especially in the single family home side, right? So they've been written about on the front page of the Wall Street Journal twice. And we're sitting around right now in our marketing meetings like, okay, how do we jump out in front of all this like AI stuff and really turn it up for our marketing efforts, right? Like we have now 3 years of conversations of Greg and I on the Not Your Average Investor show that has Greg's exact voice and me asking him questions and a bunch of people asking questions. They have a website that has a lot of SEO organic traffic because they're the category kings of this thing. And we're trying to figure out how to like amass, you know, we're allowed to publish articles into the Jacksonville Business Journal because they have like that type of reputation. So we're trying to figure out like, how do we implement this stuff in through the team and get this thing going in a way that creates a absolute competitive advantage? John, what would you kind of like, if you're in that room, you're in that marketing department, kind of like, what are you advising that we do?
And specifically, I would just do what you're doing now and show how you can do it faster and better to start. And there's always innovative ways we can look at after. But if you guys are writing blog posts, that stuff can be done really fast. Or if you're trying to figure out new things to write about, you can easily, you could use that as a creative brainstorm session. Like you've never had a creative brainstorm session in your life with like no pauses of like, what? You'll get a bunch of abundance of info to creatively brainstorm. But what are you guys currently doing now specifically that you would like, it's a pain point or you would like to speed up or?
We'd like to get articles written in Greg's voice about like the key things that we've over the last 3 years, there's been some key points that we really like stand behind on the show, right? And those have evolved as the economy has evolved. For us, this idea of like the value of vertical integration, because nobody else is vertically integrated, is out there. The idea that property management and the aligned incentives of property management only happen when you vertically integrate, so that way you're not nickel and diming people because you're a property manager, because at the end of the day, you're trying to sell more properties. The upside of the Jacksonville market and those types of things. And then nowadays, as the market is turning, right, it's like this idea of turning equity into income and beating inflation and having a better risk-adjusted return that isn't totally natural. We want to create thought leadership original content around those ideas. And it's hard to like outsource that to our newest team member who's a blog writer to really get that thing right. You know, how would you? Yeah. So that's kind of what we're trying to do, right? Like we're trying to take all the stuff we've said and put out more blogs that are based on Greg's already like well-spoken opinions over the last like 3 years.
Do you mind if I go first, Jakob? What I would do is I would start doing exactly, if you guys are organized and you have a process already in your meeting, I would start there and say, this is what we're trying to do. Give us an outline for today's meeting and as a start, right? And then whatever your process is, you can speed it up. And I feel like what you said is the easiest thing in the world. You just type in what you're trying to do and Greg's tone of voice. And you can say, give me long form content, give me short form content, give me listicles, give me some other content ideas of ways I can get this out to people. And they're not all going to be right. But I think guarantee if you do that, you're going to get enough information to get you going. And for me, it's more often right than not.
Yeah. So I am a big AI enthusiast, but I'm also a big fan of being authentic. So what you said, creating your voice, it's very important. So it's not like that people want the perfect blog article generated by ChatGPT. There should be always something that when I read the article, okay, this is Greg or this is Pablo, people should feel this. So what I always say, 60% or 50% of the blog articles that I produce with AI are AI generated, and the other 50% or 40% are my own experience as an editor. So I think we have to include this and put the work and the time and put our own voice into the content that we produce. From a content standpoint, I think, Pablo, you guys are crushing it already. What I would do, so I'm a big fan, for example, of Lately AI. So I'm just typing this in. So Lately AI is very unique in the market because it's combining two things, content creation and content distribution. So this means I can create the video snippets within the tool. So I'm uploading, for example, this recording, and this tool generates me video snippets, and I can directly auto distribute it on my channels, on my social media channels. So I don't have to, normally I have one tool for text production, one for deepfake, and then I have another tool where I can distribute the social media postings, the videos. But this tool can do both things, and this is something that saves me a lot of time. This could save you also time. And it also analyzes your social media history, and based on your engagement, it gives you suggestions when you should post these videos or articles, which is a cool thing. It's like, it's a recommendation when did you have the best engagement, and let's repost this on that time again, something like that. So this would be, so Lately AI is one thing, or automating universal posts. So if you have articles or postings that you can post, it doesn't matter if you post it in January or December, just automate it and say, okay, in 30 days, again, post this again. So I'm using, for example, Hero Post. That's not AI, but that's more like automation, mm-hmm. but it's also a very helpful tool so that you don't have to plan all the time in advance your postings. You can recycle some of your content. That's mm-hmm. totally fine. So that would be my two recommendations.
Interesting. All right, man. I definitely want to talk to you more about that. Jacob, I'm going to put you back as back in the audience, and then we'll bring you back on when we're going to RGG. Thanks for adding to this, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Smart kids up.
Oof. That was a golden nugget right there. I'm going to have my team clip that and paste that across all my social media channels. So if you could just give this a pause right now, go into the show notes and connect with me on whatever platform you like to follow me on. Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, whatever you want to be a part of my life in, connect with me there. I'm going to share that clip, and you can share it with your friends so that they get the same lesson. It'll be adding value to their life. And while you're at it, go ahead and subscribe to the show if you haven't already. Hit 5-star review, right? You don't have to leave a review. You just got to hit 5 stars. If you want to leave a review, cool. And maybe send the episode to your friend. That would be awesome. That's it. I'm done. Back to the show. Yeah, John, first of all, thanks for playing along, right? Like, I know
no,
that
dude, that's why we're here. I love this conversation because I've checked out Lately AI, but there's something, I mean, I'm going to be hitting this dude up because there's some cool, he's definitely playing in some of the same sandbox that we're all collectively learning this shit together. So I love it.
For sure. You know, when we were set up to do this ChatGPT talk, first of all, I did the thing with Jesse's post. Let's share it real quick. So Jesse, I took what you said. I wrote in ChatGPT in this box here. I copied and pasted and put write a press release. These are the key points, and literally just copy pasted what you wrote. Lauderdale Mass Transit Center has achieved LEED V4 Transit Gold certification. It is the first LEED for Transit Gold certification in the US and the first LEED for Transit project in Florida. Spinnaker Group was LEED consultants, commissioning agents, and energy modelers. Owner is Broward County and architect is Saltz Mickelson. And it wrote out this whole thing. Lauderdale, Florida. The Lauderdale Mass Transit Center, located in the heart of Broward County, has recently been awarded the prestigious LEED for Transit Gold certification, making it the first of its kind in the United States. The center has also achieved the distinction of being the first LEED for Transit project in Florida. And it wrote literally like 7 paragraphs, including quotes that say, "We are honored to have been a part of this landmark project, which represents a significant step forward in sustainable development in the United States," said Jonathan Burgess, CEO of Spinnaker Group. quote, the Lauderhill Mass Transit Center is a shining example of what can be achieved when architects, builders, and developers work together to create more sustainable future. So Jonathan Burgess is the CEO of his group, Jesse's boss, owner of the company. It was able to extrapolate not just your key points, but insert characters into the equation and write the whole thing for out, man.
Can you go back to that real quick? We won't slow up the screen, right? If you go back to that.
You want to go back to it? Yeah.
Yep. Because then, like, look, maybe you didn't get that quote right. And you'd say, like, hey, replace that. You could literally put replace that. We are thrilled to receive the cert. So you could copy one of these quotes and just say, put this in a more personal tone. And you could even say, I want to say this, but put that in the same tone of voice, whatever it is. And these are where you can play around with it. Now you just talk to it. So
yeah. So it's replace. And I just copy pasted the quote and make it sound, what is it? More sarcastic.
Sure. Why not? We could do whatever we want in this one. Yep. We're not really going to release this one.
Correct. I cannot generate sarcastic content.
You can. You can trick it in that stuff, but you could just say, put it in a tone of Joe Rogan. I don't know. Just literally do that. Just say, replace this in, as if Joe Rogan said it.
And if we want to make it sarcastic and put it in the tone of Ryan Reynolds.
There you go. Perfect. I can picture him saying that, like on that Sprint commercial.
Yeah. Here we go. So now that changes to, we're thrilled to have the chance to work on this game-changing project, which is basically like winning the eco-friendly Olympics, said Jonathan Burgess, CEO of Spinnaker Group. The Lauderhill Mass Transit Center is the coolest thing since sliced avocado toast. And it's proof that when architects, builders, and developers team up, we can make the world a better, greener, and more sustainable place. Can I get a high five from Mother Nature people?
I love it. So then you could say, hey, I want to write an Instagram. I want to put this screenshot on Instagram. Give me a copy for that. And like, we're just making up a scenario, but you can keep it. And if you keep it within this chat, there are tricks and it can get watered down. But if you keep things in this chat, it can remember quite a far bit back of what you are. So what do you say? I want to do Instagram. Yep. There you go. It's got emojis even on there, right?
Yeah,
it's got emojis,
right? So now it's like the caption is shout out to the team behind Lauderhill Mass Transit for achieving LEED 4 Transit Gold certification, emoji green leaf, emoji star. This groundbreaking project is a game changer in sustainable development and sets the bar high for eco-friendly initiatives across the country. Emoji globe, emoji clap, hashtag LEED 4 transition gold, transit gold, hashtag sustainability goals, hashtag green living, hashtag Lauderhill Transit Center.
Now put in there that you, well, sorry.
I'll go back.
This is where we can play. Because you like, These are all the different things that I would do if I was on this, doing this thing. Now I would put, write a pitch email, a short pitch email to reporters to get this out.
Boom. Immediately write subject, Lauderhill Mass Transit Center earns LEED 4 certification, a first in the US, dear reporter name.
But I don't, I don't know what report, like green reporters. So like, hey, can you give me a list of reporters I should reach out to that focus on this area?
Oh my God.
Now, not everything's going to be 100% right here. We're just testing these things out. And it's the first time I've gone through this stuff, but yeah. I've
focused on this area and these topics. This has really opened my mind, man. Sure. Here's some reporters. Adele Peters, senior writer at Fast Company. Elizabeth Sengren, staff writer at Fast Company. So a bunch of people at Staff Company. Somebody at City Lab. Somebody at Eater. Interesting. Two editors of Curbed, which is a real estate kind of blog. An editor at Tree Hugger. Interesting.
Yep. So, I mean, you could you can go through the steps that will help you. And that's what I was saying before, like you start a meeting, like you can start with an outline and go all the way through the ideation of it. But yeah, I would never have known who Adele Chapin is. Never would have thought. Now would want to fact check that, but at least yeah. I've gone a lot quicker instead of Googling something and having to try to find, you know, sift through all these SEO things.
Man, I never thought of the idea of, hey, write me content about this and then write me the sales pitch for this.
Exactly. You could then go, I need to write a sales pitch in the ABT framework and it's going to do it like that. Or you could Correct. Say, I need anything. You can change that into anything and it'll change it into that specific stuff. So.
Epic, dude. Epic. Dude, one of the things that you said you wanted to talk about was other tools, right? Like, talk to me about, I've heard about Midjourney a whole bunch, man, and I can't figure out how to use it. Like, what's the deal with that?
Yeah, man. So Midjourney is like one of the basic image generation tools. So you have your text-based AI tools, which is like your ChatGPT, your Jaspers, there's a million of them popping up. And then you have things like OpenAI, which is also ChatGPT. They've had something called DALL-E, which is an image generation tool. And you can sign up for ChatGPT and use DALL-E. But if you have Discord, Midjourney is the popular one that you just use in Discord. And this is all of these were text-based prompts that this guy used to illustrate a children's book on a weekend. So I don't know what his prompts were, but if you go to his Twitter on the thread, like I think he breaks it down and tells you, but you would probably just put a first grade girl in this Pixar style with blue eyes next to a robot and, you know, studio lighting, I would assume, because there's stuff like that. And you can type in these text-based prompts that end up coming, generating images. So that's one. It's a very basic one and it's super fun if you have Discord. And if you don't, you can try the ChatGPT, the OpenAI version called DALL-E, which they all do different things, like they're different strengths, and if that makes sense. So if you're looking for like more realistic stuff, there's a bunch of different tools like Stable Diffusion. I mean, mostly my head explodes when people start throwing out these different names because I'm like, fuck this shit. I just want to know how to get my grocery list. Yeah. Right. But
it's like learning like an NHL hockey roster or something.
Here's what I would do. So there's a member of our community, Heather Cooper. I should try to find, it's called Visually AI, but she has a free tool that like, or she has like a Notion that has all of these things in one spot. That's one thing we should try to put in here because again, this is my go-to, my resource, because everybody else is playing in this world. And I'm trying to take it in the use cases that I'm currently using now, but I don't have time to play around with all of these different types of tools.
Got it. Heather Cooper. I'm putting in Heather Cooper AI.
Visually AI. Yeah.
Visually AI by Heather Cooper Substack. Perfect.
Yep. So if we put that in there. She's awesome, man. She's my go-to person for the image-based AI tools, because you can create some crazy shit, man. You can animate, you can edit videos like Jakob was talking about. My experience hasn't been great with the editing of the videos, but it's coming and I know it's coming sooner than later. So it might be, since the last month ago when I tested it, it might work, but you could actually you could get ChatGPT to write an explainer video for you for a product. And then you can put that in this other tool that then will give you like they'll source curated stock footage and they will cut up the video for you. You can put what music you want on it. My experience hasn't been great with it, but I've seen how fast this stuff grows quickly. Yeah. So I know that is coming, where you 100% are going to be able to put together a pretty solid quality video and just by typing in what you want it to do.
So one of the things that I'm taking from you on this, in this thing, John, is the idea that right now it feels like ChatGPT has hit like a tipping point and it's become really easy to use, right? Like I know that I kind of like had my teeth kicked in with Jasper. I couldn't really figure out how to make it functional. ChatGPT mm-hmm. seems real functional real quick. And then there's all these other tools that are the visual ones, whether it's image generation or video editor,
music,
or even music. And what I'm hearing from you loud and clear is the idea that it's worthwhile getting in there and start experimenting and start messing around, because the rapid rate of change is going to be in your favor as long as you can get like a core kind of like understanding. Soon you're going to be able to say, hey, I just invented a new class about real estate investing. Write me a script for an ad. Give me like an animated character template for it and put some music behind it. And it's going to be able to essentially like pop a whole project out for you in sooner than we think.
Yes. Yep. Or, and you could say, you could install a deep fake personal assistant that goes to your website with the tone of voice that you want, with all of the answers that you want it to voice you in the right direction from, like, that shit. Or you could just do your grocery list. Like it's that simple. But regardless of where you are in your journey, it speeds time up and it stops roadblocks in my case. And I've seen it in a lot of other cases, things that hold us back. The stuff can break through that really quick.
Amazing, man. Amazing. John, I know you might have to go at 5:30. I got one last question for you, man. So J.D. Gerspein said earlier, right? Like he's like, all my content is generated by me. I don't want to like use AI. What do you say to the people that think that this is just going to dilute your voice or dilute your, or dilute the things that you're doing or devalue your work? What do you say to them?
I mean, for me, my process before, when I was stuck on like email copy or sales copy. It was literally the books on my shelves over there that are from like the 1980s, like Words That Sell, Phrases That Sell. And that's what I would look in, like, hey, I'm working with somebody that's creating content on luxury. Let me look for, and I would look at it like a dictionary and a thesaurus. And these are the words that I would use for luxury. So this just speeds up that process for me. And at the end, you can use it however you want. But for me, it's I'm using it the same ways I did before. Just at the it goes way faster, and I can plug and play on the fly.
John, anything else, man? Where do people go to join the sauce? Give like the call to action to connect with you, join your newsletter, all that good stuff, so we can have it for the podcast.
Yeah, all good, man. I think you put it up in here, and I appreciate that. The sauce is internal in the Food Fight Studios group. If you like Discord, there's a Discord. We're on Twitter, although I'm not there as much, but that's the easiest way to kind of connect with the community. And it's not like I'm a rambling idiot up here, as you all witnessed firsthand, but the people in our group are no joke and doing some great things. So it's honored to be kind of hanging out in the mix. And this is where I go to learn. And then I try to dummy it down. But the reality is your audience is even way, way more advanced than me here, man. So I'm learning some shit here.
Love it, man. I appreciate you making time, dude. I appreciate, whatever. You've been on the podcast multiple times, so I've flattered you probably about three or four different ways. You're my guy, man. You know that I greatly admire everything that you're doing. I gotta say, I have been, when you first told me about the sauce, I was like, great, another newsletter and community about like design and blah, blah, blah. I have been blown away by how good it is, right? So I just definitely want to, echo the sentiment of, if you're looking for a community of creators, if you're trying to up your game in that thing, John's really doing it at a really high level, has some incredible people in there. So go join it.
Man, on LinkedIn, I'll put up here if you want to connect in that world. But yeah, and it's a community, I guess, but it really is just a group of people just sharing tools. So thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate it.
And that's it. John Briggs is the guy that I bring on. I guess it's like when there's cutting edge stuff. So he launched a super cool NFT community end of 2022 that's thriving still, even in this NFT winter. You can see that on episodes 170, 171. It was a two-part series about his Battle Bunnies NFT project. And I think the biggest lesson here for the ChatGPT thing that I've taken away is to lean into the conversational nature of it, right? Like, talk to it like it's a human, and you're asking somebody for a favor, or like an employee or a teammate to just give you some feedback on something. I've really just dialed in on that piece and being able to iterate through, like, oh yeah, that was cool, but do it this way. Or, I got this thought of like an episode about a guy that's like super progressive with technology that's going to explain how ChatGPT is easy to use. Give me a podcast description for it. Oh, good description. Write a good headline for it. Oh, that headline wasn't interesting enough. Do more, right? Like, that's the type of stuff that I'm using it for. And while it doesn't spit out the exact thing I want immediately, it really does shorten that like cycle of like, how do I start this thing? What's my first draft of it? Which I find really, really valuable. So I encourage you to lean into the ChatGPT stuff. And come to one of these shows, right? Like, I want to hear how you are doing ChatGPT. After every show, we go into the open mic session where we give advice to anybody there that's working on something. Or if you got a cool speaking point to share, you can just pop in and do it. We'll post produce it for you so you can use it for LinkedIn. So yeah, let me know either way on what you're doing on ChatGPT and how I can help and any other interesting thing that you're working on. And of course, gotta thank my team, as always. Number one, I always thank Roanne, because she just keeps me doing all the things I need to be doing as the account manager on this project. Gina, who's built this amazing world-class culture and brought us an amazing team and recruited amazing talent, like her right-hand Marge, who makes everything happen. JP, our employee number one, who does all the cool stuff, right? He's making all the videos, he's making all the audio stuff. Everything that you see and touch is touched by the creative director of our company, JP, employee number one, who is training another awesome creative, Philippe, to follow in his footsteps and do great things for us, like the client activations that we do for our clients. repurposing that type of content, all helped by Rita, our content strategist, who basically takes the things that we promise and makes sure that you get the results that we say based on the content that we are creating, right? Like making sure it's all congruent, the story is right, that you're getting the results that you need. Our two awesome account managers, Joanna and Joyce, and our amazing superstar writer, Nicola, who's been my buddy now for going on like 4 or 5 years. He's turning into a man. When I first started mentoring when he was 13, he interviewed me on a podcast, and now he's becoming a world-class writer. So I want to thank the whole team, and I want to encourage you to always, always consider the impact of relationships being more valuable than transactions. See you next week.